know we've been talking about ministry and what is ministry, and we've been looking at Scripture the best we can to try to learn and be reminded and ask the Lord for His help in how we can do ministry here at the church. And we're going to continue that this morning. We've talked the last 2 weeks, we've talked about how ministry is serving others, serving each other and others, giving of ourselves or making ourselves last in line instead of first in line, so that we might be prepared and able to serve well and do whatever it is would be needed in a person's life or situation. To be a servant is what Jesus came for, and that's what we ought to be striving for as well, Lord willing, right, with His help. We also learned about when we talked about the story of the Good Samaritan, we learned about helping people and how ministry is helping those that need help. Of course, we understand not everybody wants help, but when we see opportunity and the Lord gives us the ability and the mind to do it, we should be willing to help. And if we remember the story of the Good Samaritan, it was not just a little bit of help, it was a lot of help. He made sacrifices so that he could help the one who was near death in the ditch that not only he was helping, but no one else would help, or at least the ones who passed by wouldn't help. And he went out of his way, and he actually stopped his world, he stopped his life to take time to make sure that the help was given. And I think that's what ministry is, right? I don't think we should understand what I'm trying to share with you as ministry is this or this or this or this. It is all of this together always. When we're helping, we're serving. When we're serving, we're helping. When we're helping and serving, we're loving people. And when we're loving people, we're loving God. Isn't that the end goal? Isn't that the desire or the isn't that the target that we're trying to hit with the Lord's help, of course, right? Because we know we can't do it on our own. We could try real hard, and we might be able to do a little bit of good, but not the way that God would have us do it in something that the Scripture would teach us is actual ministry. You see, Jesus walked around for 3 years-ish teaching the disciples what ministry looks like, how it is to help people, how it is to serve people, how it is to teach and preach the Word of God, the truth of God, inserting the truth into people's lives at just the right moment. And He sent them out 2 by 2 at times to go practice it and learn it by experience and come back and learn from what they did. He discipled them. And then when Pentecost happened, they had everything they needed to be successful in doing ministry in the world, because the Spirit of God came along and revealed all of this truth to them, and suddenly this supernatural understanding was there about everything that Jesus had taught. And suddenly they became disciple makers. They became servants. They became helpers. And today we're going to look at something that sometimes is not received well. Sometimes it's not taught well. Sometimes it's intentionally taught wrong for personal gain, personal status. This idea of giving, right? I think everybody that I know who's a believer, who I know personally, would have a general understanding of what the word give means, right? What does it mean to give? And I think that sometimes, if not many times, maybe even all the time, when we give, we take joy in giving. People wouldn't give if they didn't have, there wasn't any joy in it, right? I think sometimes we give, it doesn't seem like there's joy, but we give when it's necessary to help someone or to serve someone, so we're willing to sacrificially give, see? And sometimes we give because we have an abundance of something. We give because we have more than what we could ever need. Sometimes we give just because we can, or because someone either needs or wants something that we can offer them. as we get ready to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, you can put your finger there or mark the page because we'll get to it toward the end. I want to talk about the early church, and I want to see how God and His Holy Spirit instantly made them a church of givers. Okay? And I want to see if we can learn some things about giving that's above and beyond just tithing or giving your money to the church. I don't want to dismiss that because that's important, isn't it? That's necessary. For the church to do ministry, for the church to do what it's called to do, it sometimes takes money. Okay, the lights are turned on. For us to be in here right now, that costs money. It costs money to even have the building here. Y'all understand that. I'm not going to tell you something you don't already know. I'm not going to dwell on that. But at the same time, money is a big issue in our lives, in the world, and even in our spiritual lives. What it is, what it's about, who it belongs to, how much do we love it? How much do we have to need it? Can become an issue, can it? There's a lot of preachers that have used this illustration. I just think it's funny, so I'm going to share it with you. There's a receptionist that was working at the church one day, and this hog farmer came in, and he said, he came in the front door, and he said, I'd like to see the head hog in charge of the trough here. That's how he said it, meaning the preacher. And the receptionist, she got all offended, and she was like, sir, if you're talking about our beloved preacher, you might call him reverend or pastor, but I don't think you should be. It would be proper to call him head hog of the trough. And he says, well, all right, said this hog farmer. I just sold some of my livestock, and I was going to donate $10,000 to the building fund. So I was hoping to catch him today, but obviously I've offended you. And the lady says, oh, wait a minute. I see the big pig just walked in a minute ago. So she calls him. So money sometimes changes people's perspective and their attitude. It's a funny story. It's not right, but it's a funny story. But, you know, this preacher's been called a lot worse, so that's not something that's going to offend me. It is noticeable if we're paying attention to one another, if we're paying attention to ourselves, it's noticeable how it changes behavior, money, good or bad. It just changes the way people act or the way people think or the way people react. Money is something that is important. It's something that is necessary. But it's also something that will be your demise, as according to James, right? We're not just talking about money. We're talking about what you give your heart to. We're talking about the love of money. The love of money will destroy you. If you're pursuing only money and everything you do is about money, you will fail when it comes to honoring God, when it comes to getting close to God, when it comes to even thinking about doing actual ministry as we've been discussing here in the last few weeks. Loving God and loving people in a way that ministers to others, you cannot do it if your heart is given to anything or anyone other than God. I've had this debate with many an elder over the years of my time in preaching, many other preachers around my circle of people, and some dwell on the need for money and the importance of money and the bank account of the church and the bank account of the people in the church, and others don't think about it at all. And I'm kind of somewhere in the middle, because I know we can't ignore our pocketbooks. We can't ignore our bills. We can't ignore our responsibilities at home. We have to have money to exist, you know. I think it was sometime last summer, my wife and I were coming home from someplace on a Monday. We went somewhere to eat somewhere like we always do. And we were coming home, and I said, you know what, we're going to just stop going places. I'm just going to stop leaving the house, because every time I walk out the door, it costs me money. Start up the car, cost me money. To go down and get me something to eat, cost me money. right? To wash the truck, wash the car, it costs me money. Even if I wash it at home, it costs me money. Everything we do to exist costs something. So money is necessary. Finances are important. They are a tool that God has allowed us to use. Okay. It's all a question of how do we use what God has given us? Why do we do what we do with our finances? And then you take all of those truths and those principles, and then there's plenty more that I don't have time to talk about, and you, as a church family, as church leadership, we get together and we try to apply the same truth to the church and its budget and its finances and its resources, right? And we try to be the best stewards we can of what the Lord has offered us and what the Lord has allowed us to have, to use, right? And I don't know, I've run into all different churches that have plenty of finances, endless resources, and they're doing great work for the kingdom with their finances. And then there's others that are flat broke and couldn't pay the bills next week if it weren't for a weekly miracle. And it's not because of their poor stewardship, it's just because they don't have enough people. You can only get so much milk out of one cow. Am I right? You can't keep preaching to people, give more, just because you need more. They can't do what they can't do. Right? So then you got other congregations that they have piles of money, but they're so scared that they might not be able to pay the bills in 15 years that they won't do ministry with the money, with the tools that God gave them. And then there's all different kinds of churches across the board in different places, right? And we have to look at Scripture. We have to think about the way Jesus taught about parables about when a master leaves and he leaves three people in charge of his money, and he comes back and he's only angry at one of them because he wasn't a good steward. And he was pleased with the other two because they actually took that resource and tried to do something with it. And then there's a big debate about what does it mean to be a good steward, right? And sometimes we get caught up. It's hard because sometimes you have this debate with yourself. It's like, well, is it good stewardship to spend this money now, or is it good stewardship to not spend this money now? And plenty of good arguments can be made, can it? For both sides of that. That's why we need the Lord, y'all. That's why we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because we don't know. You don't know. You don't always know what's best. You can have all the facts of every situation, and you don't always know without the Spirit of God leading and guiding you what to do. Because sometimes the Lord wants you to give in such a way that's crazy. You're just going to give to somebody who you don't even know, and you just suddenly been made aware of their need in a split moment, and you're just like, okay, what should I do? Just automatically say no, or should I ask the Lord and pray about this for just this 2 seconds that I have to answer this question? Should I help? That's why there's no cross-the-board answers. We should give this in this case, and we should not give in those cases. That's not the way it is, because the Spirit of God, situation by situation, will lead you. This is what I want you to do in this moment. And in another moment, he may have you do something different to give. And if we look at giving, I'm trying to say all this to get to the point that if we look at giving as only about money, we're going to totally miss what the Bible is teaching us about being a giving church. If it's only about money, should I give my... And the reason we make it only about money is because we love our money. You want me to prove it? Everybody bring your wallet up here and set it down. And I'll take it home with me. You're like, no, it ain't happening. Right? Because we love our money. We're not just going to freely give it away. But if I said, bring all your lint and put it up here and I'll take it home, you'd probably do it. Like, that's not going to hurt me. You see, we all have that struggle, don't we? And it's because we all are sinners and we all live in a world that's fallen, and the world tells us that money is where it's at. The world tells us that success is where it's at. The world tells us that everything the world has to offer is what we have to chase after. So therefore, it's hard to give it away. That's why Jesus taught about money so much. That's why Jesus was talking about finances in such a, when he was teaching about kingdom truths and spiritual growth and here's what it's like in the kingdom of God, and here's what the gospel is, but he was talking about money to do it. Because if he could get us to understand how to not love our money, then maybe we could give our heart to what he wants us to give our heart to. See, it's not because money is the most important thing, it's because money is what's on our minds, finances. And I'm saying our and we in a general sense, y'all. So don't get all backed up and be like, wait a minute, I don't like this. I don't like it either, but we got to say it. Let's look at the first church here. Because in the beginning is the best place to look and see. In the beginning, in the very beginning, in that short time period when God sent the Spirit of God amongst the apostles and they began to preach the gospel the first time, the church exploded and turned the world upside down. So if any church that ever existed, any congregation that ever existed, was ever getting it right, it would have been that church in that moment. And we have plenty of letters to plenty of churches that show us that as time went on, they started to not get it right every time. They started to fade off of where they were in that moment when the Spirit of God was allowed to have his way. Short verses, verse chapter 2, you know where it is. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and through 45. Oh, I got to turn my page. I was on the wrong. I did this in Sunday school. I got on the wrong page. This is after Peter preaches the gospel, and they were cut to the heart, and everybody, not everybody, but most of them repented and got saved. So look, talking about the church, after they got saved and they were gathering together, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And verse 44, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And then it says in verse 45, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Those are a few short verses that tell us that the church at Pentecost, the brand new church, was a giving church. They just started giving. And he's sitting back saying, well, okay, well, given what? Everything. Anything. All of it. To who? Everybody. Anyone. All of them. Nobody had any needs. Not because there wasn't problems in the world. Not because there wasn't life going on. It's because the church was a giving church. The church was automatically doing ministry because the Spirit of God was lighting them up on fire for being who Jesus died for them to be. Let's break it down a little bit, just a little bit. Look at verse 32 of chapter 4, by the way, because this adds to it. Says, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. It's just another portion of Acts, the book of Acts, teaching us a little bit about the original church or the beginning of the church. I don't like saying original church as if there's some other separate church. It's the beginning of us. You understand? And I don't want to mislead. But okay, so let's break it down a little bit. Go back to the original chapter 2 part of it. First off, we see that they devoted themselves. Okay? They devoted themselves. When you devote yourself to something, it means you're giving yourself to it. My wife is totally devoted to me. Praise the Lord. And I mean praise the Lord, y'all. I would be a pathetic pile of mess if it weren't for her. And that's just the truth. Because she knows how to give herself to me. And I pray that I'm doing the same for her. If we're not devoted to one another, that means if I'm not devoted to her, that means when I want to, I'm going to be her husband. Okay? But if something else gets my attention, then I'm going to go do that. And then I'm going to expect her to be my wife when I get back. And now I'm committing to something else. I'm giving myself to something else. That's not devotion. That's not being committed to. I have not given myself to her. Or maybe I said I did, but I really didn't. Or maybe I really did, and then something got my attention, and I'm trying to take a little portion of it back because she really doesn't need all that much of me, does she? I'm talking about our relationship with the Lord, y'all. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus died on the cross, y'all. Brutally murdered. Gave up his life and allowed all of those things to happen to offer you forgiveness and grace and eternal life. And all God is saying is, if you want that, I want all of you. I want you to be devoted to me. I want you to give yourself to me as my son gave himself for you. You see. If we can't understand this type of giving, if we can't understand what it means to be devoted to each other and to the Lord, it doesn't matter what you do with your money. It doesn't matter if you pile it into some ministry or some church. It doesn't matter if you stuff your pockets with it. It doesn't matter if you run up and down the streets handing it out to everybody. It doesn't matter, because if you're not devoted to God, it's all for nothing. How many times we preachers sit in our preacher circles and lament or pray fervently, Lord, we just want our church to be like the church in the book of Acts. We just want our people to love each other and give to each other and surrender to each other. We want the Spirit of God to come on us. We want God to add to our number every day. Isn't that what we all want? I don't think it's wrong to want that. And I think sometimes, just sometimes, the only thing in the way of that is we don't really understand how to devote ourselves to the Lord and to each other in this way. To give ourselves, to give each other, give all of me to all of you. As a preacher, it's my responsibility, my calling, to give me to you. As a member of this church, it's your responsibility to give yourself to one another. And as a congregation, it's our responsibility. We should have the desire to give ourselves to the Lord and to His work, which means giving ourselves to the community, to the lost. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the souls that are going to hell, should the Lord come back right now. That's what ministry is. Ministry is giving yourself. It says they were devoted. Some of the preachers get excited when it says that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. And some of the preachers stand up and like, yeah, they should listen to me while I'm preaching. They should be here every time I'm preaching. They should be here every time I'm having Bible study. And if they're not here, something wrong with them. If you're devoted to Archie Gilmer, the preacher, or any other name, the preacher, you're devoted to the wrong thing. I pray every Sunday morning before I come up here that God would remove me and use me, and that it would be only His word. Only His truth for you guys, for anybody that would hear it. I pray that that's what happens, because if anything outside of that happens, I'm actually harming you. Because I'm not giving to you. I'm not giving myself to the Lord so He can give to you what you need. And if I come up here with any other motive, it's for self. And then I'm actually taking from you. Because all I'm after is for you to say amen, to make me feel better, to make me look like some great preacher so I can walk around saying, yeah, I'm the preacher at Oak Grove. You probably saw me on the internet. Once I'm autographed, here it is right here. That's stupid. It's unhealthy. It's harmful for any believer to have such an attitude. And if we don't know how to give, we don't know how to do ministry. If we don't know how to give, we don't know our Savior, because that's what He did. That's who He was and is. And if we're trying to be like Him, then how come we don't know how to give in that way? Because serving people is giving, isn't it? However which way you find to serve somebody, or the Lord lead you to serve somebody, it's going to cost you money, it's going to cost you time, it's going to cost you some energy, it's going to cost you something in your mind, It's going to cost you an emotion of some sort. That's why God doesn't really care about your money, because he doesn't really need your money. He's got plenty of that. Plenty. Now, I'm not telling you don't do what the Lord leads you to do as far as doing tithes and offerings and whatever the Lord leads you to do around the world and here in the church. I'm saying God doesn't care about our money. He cares about our hearts. When I teach about tithing to people in conversation, I teach that there's no such word in the Bible when it comes to mandating a 10% of your salary to the church. There's some Old Testament scripture that teaches about a thing called tithing that has been adopted by the church to use as a measuring point so people would know how to give. Right? Because somebody's going to say, well, how much should I give to the church? Okay, just give a tithe. Give a 10%. And I tell people, it's like, you know what? It's not wrong. You want to give 10%, do it. That's a good starting place. It is. I'm not the first preacher to ever say that. I'm not the first preacher to ever tell you that 100% of it belongs to God. How about that? Aren't you praising the Lord that he gives you 90% to live on? Right? But let's say if it was the other way around, if it was 90% into the church or into some ministry and you get 10%, are you okay with that? Hello? Hope some point we can say amen to that, because that's God's goal for us. It's God's goal that we could be satisfied with 0% of his money. Because it's not ours, y'all. None of it. The clothes we're wearing, the houses we live in, the church we're worshiping in, the property that we all own, everything that you have and everything that exists in your possession belongs to God. And if the sooner we get where these first disciples were, the beginning of the church, as soon as we get where they were, they were freely given to one another. Oh, you need something? You need a bed? Here, take that one right there. Oh, you need some bread? Okay, we got some over here. Take some of that. Right? Oh, wait. You need some milk or something. Well, my neighbor just gave me some because I needed some, but I'll split it with you. Because we know whose it is and we know where it came from. We have to strive, the church, the body of Christ, the believers, we have got to surrender to the Lord so much that we don't need a thing on this planet. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Especially on a morning like today when it's 5 degrees or 9 degrees outside. I thank the Lord for the furnace that kept going all night. I thank the Lord that water's still running without busting pipes, for those of you who didn't get frozen pipes. I thank the Lord that there's windows on the house that he lets me live in. That I'm not camped out like some people are in this very community. Last night, right? So it's just a matter of perspective. They not only did they give themselves in the end, it said they shared with each other everything. They never thought, they said they didn't think their possessions were their own, so they gave of their stuff, they gave of their money. If we're going to be the church, we have to become a giving church. Now, every time we preach this particular type of sermon, or every time some preacher says these things, everybody's first question is, well, the Lord would, I don't think, you think the Lord would ever tell me to just give everything I own away? I don't know how to answer that question. That's a question you have to ask the Lord. Because what it is they're like, they want to separate themselves. We want to separate ourselves from this reality. Because we want to say, oh, I would be willing to be that kind of person if I thought the Lord would ever do that, but I don't think he would ever do it, so I'm not have to worry about it. And the reality is, it's the same God, y'all, and it's the same church. So be prepared is all I'm saying. We got to be a giving church, because ministry is giving. Every part of ministry is giving of something. So how do we be a giving church? Uh-oh, lost my PowerPoint. How do we become a giving church? We have to be a church that's engaged in this kind of ministry. We got to be a church. Okay, we have to be a church that's prepared. If there's a need that requires money to be handed out, are we prepared to be that church? Are we a church that if the need is to go and do some service for somebody at somebody's house, are we prepared to be that kind of a church? Are we prepared to give of any and all of our resources for whatever need would come up among our neighbors? Because we're trying to be the good neighbor, aren't we? Maybe somebody just needs a pickup truck to haul something to their house. Right? I'm willing to, maybe you're, I'm pretty sure y'all are willing. Let's go get it. Whatever it is, let's go get it. Throw it in there. And if I'm not available for some reason, let's get extreme. Here's the keys in my truck. Bring it back when you're done. That's tough, y'all. It's tough. I'll tell you why it's tough. I'm just being honest. I don't have no problem loaning my truck to anybody. But I would be lying to you if I didn't think the whole time, I hope they don't wreck that truck. I would be lying to you if I said it wasn't like that. And that's giving, right? And you're trying to love somebody and you're trying to do ministry, but at the same time, I'm not 100% giving over to that type of giving, am I? Because I'm wondering, oh, they're gonna wreck my truck. Why is that truck so important? Or my car, or my bicycle. It doesn't matter. Because I grew up in a world where you're trained to work hard for anything that you need or want. And by the time you get to be old enough to have been successful in earning your estate, kind of protective of it. I work hard for stuff. I work hard to have a house. I work hard to spoil my wife. That was a good amen spot right there for you. You understand what I'm saying, right? And it's not, I don't want to say it's like sinful to be that way, like you bad, horrible person, you're going to hell. I'm just saying, I would like to work away from that. And the truth of the matter is, I don't want them to wreck my truck. I don't want anything to happen to my truck. But if it does, I know it's not going to be the end of my world. And I know I'm not going to hate that person. And I'm just going to be sad and upset, be like, man, I was like, now I got this problem to deal with, you know. Years ago, some people are just like, man, I'm not going to loan you my truck because you're probably going to wreck it, and I ain't got time for those kind of problems. That's not ministry. I'm just giving that as hypothetical. It could be any situation, y'all, anything. I'm talking about confession number two. As a young preacher trying to figure it out, learning, and being in some parts of ministry that are really frustrating, and I'm maybe getting a little burnt out at times, just to give you the situation. There was a time, and it doesn't happen anymore because I know better. There was a time when certain people need to talk about a lot of things, and it takes up a lot of time. A lot of time. And as a preacher, I'm willing to be that person for them. But some of those people, it's the same conversation for years. Nothing ever changes. They're not willing to do anything to help. And it's like, okay, am I now giving? Because now I don't even want, I'm only doing this because you expect the preacher to do it, but I don't want to do it because you're just wasting my time. I know that's a bad attitude. I promise you, I'm way far away from that. Praise the Lord. Way far away from that. I'm saying years and years ago when I didn't understand some of this stuff. And I was thinking about self the whole time I'm supposed to be pouring into somebody else. Thinking about what's being taken away from me when I'm supposed to be giving myself to this person, regardless of what the situation is or why it is. And I had to grow out of that. And I think we're all struggling with different things and when it comes to giving sometimes. You want to know what's hard to give? Grace. It's hard, isn't it? Because emotions are involved. Our thoughts are involved. It's hard to give grace. This is why we need Jesus. We need Jesus because we can't do what he did without his Spirit living in us. If we're going to do ministry and we're going to have a church full of disciple makers and we're going to be powerful for the kingdom, we got to learn how to be givers. We have to learn how to be a giving church. Not try hard at doing it and grumble and complain about doing it. We need to do it in a way because the spirit that lives in us just drives us to it. You notice none of this church in the beginning, they didn't go to no ministry classes. They didn't sit down and say, here's ministry 101. We got to do this. It just says they received the gift of the Holy Spirit because they repented and they believed that Jesus is the Christ. And then it starts talking about how they kept getting together all the time. They couldn't get enough of each other and they kept blessing one another. They couldn't stop doing it because the Spirit of God was lit up in their hearts and he had full reign in their life. That's why when people get saved, when they genuinely get saved, they get excited about that. And they're just like, oh yeah, what's next? What's now? How's this? And they're just excited about their life and they're feeling the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if they don't get discipled and if they're not ushered into a church that's full of the Holy Spirit, it will burn out. They will get lost and they will fade away because it doesn't seem genuine to them. I'm almost done, y'all. I know it's taking a while. When it comes to the money part of it, y'all, I hope that we can understand that money is an important tool for ministry. And there are times when we should save it, and there are times when we should put it into practice, put it into use, right? Because in the end, money's just part of the world. Back in the day, they didn't have dollar bills with presidents' faces on it. They had animals and goods and clothes and cloth and different things that come out of that. They traded. That's what was valuable. And they traded all of that. They gave to one another all of what was, nothing belonged to them. It's important. Money is. It's important. It is necessary, but it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. If God wants me to do something, it's totally within his authority to say, here's what I want you to do. And don't be afraid to do it, y'all. Don't be afraid to do it. To pray for your leadership too, because we have to make decisions. Are we gonna spend this money on this outreach? Are we gonna spend this money on this program? We just got some monitors for the ceilings right here, one over here and one over here. Hopefully in the next couple weeks they'll be up there. Two reasons: one, because they look nicer and y'all can see better, and two, because this projector, even though it's a good projector, the light bulb only has so many hours on it, and you can't get any more light bulbs. Because it's outdated. So once that bulb is gone, it's gone. So we have to make a change. And it'll be a good change. It'll be a good change for a lot of reasons. Here's what it is. We stood around and talked, me and the elders, and then even some of the guys in the men's meeting. We talked about, should we do this? Should we not do this? How much is it going to cost? How are we going to pay for it? You know how it goes. And I'm thinking, okay, we're going to spend $600 to $900 per monitor, plus the mounting stuff, plus anything else we need to get it up there, plus whatever Kevin's going to need to get it working, right? And we're thinking, and once we start doing that as a small church, we start going, wow, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So then we start talking about spring offering. Okay, maybe spring offering will help with this. Maybe that can be what that's for. And that's where we were going to go, and that's where we are going to go. However, my wife and I went out to get some cookies for the Christmas party at Sam's Club. And we got 2 70-inch monitors on sale for $350 a piece. Like, not even half of the price, y'all. And I was on the phone with David and Hoyt. I'm like, you think I should get them? I don't want to. Because there was only like four left. And I was like, we need to get these because we're not going to find. And I ended up taking them home, bringing them up. They're in the closet right here. Don't tell nobody. we just got to get them up there and get them working. But I'm praising the Lord because we're diligently trying to be responsible with what God's given us, and he provides a way. He provides a way. It's not nearly gone. So now we can do spring offering maybe to help finish whatever we got to do, and then something else we need, whatever, right? But if we were just going to sit here and say, well, we don't want to spend that kind of money on just on TV screens, we'll be all right, and just never move forward because we're always afraid to spend money because we're scared that we might run out, we're not trusting God. It's hard, isn't it? We do that at our home. We do it in our homes, right? I don't know how many times my wife has to say to me, we do not need another race car. Because we need food in the fridge. It doesn't happen that, I'm just kidding. When I was 20-some years old and we first got together, I was racing. And there were a lot of times, this was before I was even saved, there were a lot of times when I was sitting at my kitchen table looking at the light bill and saying, I need 2 race car tires for this weekend. And I got a light bill. And the fact that I was sitting there pondering what to do was a problem, wasn't it? That's where I was with that back in those days. I didn't have any money. I didn't have money for either one. Don't get me wrong. But I'm trying to figure out, okay, how can I get these race car tires so we can go racing Saturday? And then we'll figure out about the light bill later. That's no way to live. But y'all, the Lord has blessed us here. We have a good church here. We do well when it comes to that because many churches our size don't have enough money. They don't have enough resources. Preachers are constantly trying to figure out how to keep things going. Elders are constantly trying to figure out what to do. The last church I was at, they couldn't pay what you should pay a preacher, not even near. But it wasn't because they didn't want to. It wasn't because they weren't healthy spiritually. It's because they didn't have it. They weren't going to have it until they get more people in the church. See. Let's not become people who aren't givers. Let's continue to grow in our giving. All right. Now to the last verse of the day. There was 2 verses, but I'm skipping it because I've made my point. I wanted you to look at, this is how it all happens, and this is the core of it all, and then I'll be done for y'all. I'm really trying to preach longer because the temperature's rising, so you guys will be warmer on the way home. That's not flying, is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, here's what it says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. What does this have to do with giving? Paul is spending this chapter of this letter to the Corinthians, and he's talking about the resurrection, different aspects of the resurrection. And at the end of it, he's like, look, just be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other translation, it says giving yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. When you gave your life to Christ, when you accepted the gospel, when you said, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, I repent of being an enemy of God, I surrender my kingdom, I want to be a part of God's kingdom, and when you were immersed into Christ and you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that moment you had entered into an agreement with God that you were surrendering yourself to Him. You were giving yourself to Him, fully to Him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And if we don't learn to give ourselves to God in this way, none of this other stuff is going to matter. Once we learn to be immersed in this truth, this abounding in the work of the Lord, or giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord, I'm all about the work of the Lord. Are you all about the work of the Lord? If we are, then we don't get too overly concerned about money or stuff, or resources, or whatever the case is. Because we know the Lord will lead us in what to do with it when it's time to do something with it. I'm not saying don't ever think about it. I'm not saying be frivolous. I'm not saying to not be good stewards. I'm saying let's give ourselves to the Lord so we can seek his will for it. Because we can't go wrong. That's ministry. It's hard. It's hard to know. I just had a conversation with a guy, and he's like, "Oh, I just don't give money to anybody." Okay, that's between you and the Lord. Whatever the Lord leads you to do. And maybe the Lord, maybe we're not a church where the Lord would lead us to be a money giving church. Maybe we're a church that gives in a different way. Right? Not every church is the same. I guarantee you the church that's a few miles down the road that's got several thousand people in it, they got way more money than we ever have. And they can do a lot more ministry with it than we'll ever do. But there's something that we can do and give better than what they're doing because they're not equipped. Not because they're less than us, but because they're not equipped to do it. We're equipped to do it. You know, people come to our church sometimes, it's like, we're coming here because it's a smaller congregation and I can get to know everybody. What they're looking for is they want to be loved. They want to come somewhere where people love them. They're not just a number. Right? You know how many times, and God uses all the churches, all the big churches, small churches, but you know, sometimes people, they spend time at a larger church and they meet people in town and for the first time they've ever met and they find out they've been going to church together for 6 years. Okay, that's nothing. It's nothing bad. It's not wrong. It's just a different way God is using that tool to do ministry. You see, we can't look at everybody else and how are they giving and how should we be giving. We got to look at ourselves and what the Lord is doing with us. And right now what we have to offer is the Word of God and ourselves to the community. That's what we have to offer. And if we want people to start coming in here and start worshiping with us and serving with us and people start coming in here and doing ministry with us, then we got to go out there and start to get known in the community as a church that does ministry, a church that serves, a church that helps, a church that gives, right? That's who we need to be. And we don't have to make it happen. The Lord will make it happen if we give ourselves to him, if we give our church to him. We serve the church well, right? Any you guys pray for the elders because they need to keep in mind that they are stewards of what belongs to God, right? And whatever God wants them to do, they should do as far as leading the church, any decision making that goes on. Let God help us. Let God show us. And as long as we can surrender, we'll be giving to each other and we'll be giving to the church, which is ultimately giving to God. I love you and the Lord loves you. Thank y'all for being here on such a cold Sunday morning, right? It's easy to stay home because it's cold. Some people don't need to be out because it's cold. But I'm glad you came. I'm glad you're here. And anybody's online, I'm glad you're tuning in because we love you. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. And, you know, we sing invitation. Invitation is generally for people to be invited to accept the Lord as their Savior and be saved. And I think that's important. But it's also an invitation for y'all. In this moment, Lord, let me just surrender to you and let your Spirit have his way in my heart right now about whatever.